All right. Well, amen. Good to see you here again tonight. And it's been a good day. You know, if we wake up in the morning, it's a good day. And I praise the Lord for it. Just be able to walk with him, talk to him, and, you know, just all day long. He never goes to sleep. He never goes on vacation. He never gets tired of hearing me talk to him. You know, he's just wonderful, isn't he? And let me call your attention again tonight to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. We'll review a little bit and get right into tonight's message. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. The prayer of Paul. Paul didn't know these people, but he was writing a letter to them. And he's praying for them. So listen to the wording here. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with might, with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Let us pray, please. Father, I thank you for a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand and open your book and proclaim it again tonight. I ask you, Father, to help me as I have prayed hundreds of thousands of times, that you will help me tonight. Help me to be very loving and caring, please. Help me to be very sensitive to the needs, because there's hurting people in this room tonight. There's sick folks here. And help me to be very sensitive to their needs. Thank you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We left off last night at the third results of knowledge, is spiritual growth. And I read in closing last night, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Would you turn there with me, please? Let me say this while you're turning to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. That the knowledge of God revealed in his word is crucial. What is it crucial to our spiritual growth? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Why do we need to read our Bible? Why do we need to memorize our Bible? Why do we need to study our Bible that we might grow? There are hundreds and thousands of people sitting in local churches around the world, and they're not growing. And the reason they are not growing is because they don't desire the sincere milk of the Word and get into the Word of God and study it. Not just to study it, but to study it to get. I say to preachers all the time, I get to preach to a lot of preachers, and I say to them, I say, don't just study. Don't just study to give. But study for your own soul. Feed your own soul. And then give. Amen? And look in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the last verse I read to you last night. Some of you are going home and rereading it, and that's good. I'm glad to hear that. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." There are some marks to spiritual growth. I would like to share them with you, if I may. The first one is a deeper love for God's Word. Look in Psalms 119, verse 97. I love the Psalms. They are wonderful. They are wonderful. Oh, they lift me up. When I'm down, they lift me up. When I'm weak, they make me strong. I love the Psalms. But Psalms 119 in verse 97 says, the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. It is my meditation all the day." There's not much being preached on meditating on the Word of God, but the psalmist did. He said, "Oh, how I love thy law." And throughout the book of Psalms, he said, "Oh, how I love thy precepts. Oh, how I appreciate the statutes." And Brother Beckham does too. I like them all. Amen. But he said, "It is my meditation all the day." Meditating in the Word of God, meditating upon who He is, meditating on His love for me, meditating on His mercies, meditating on His grace, meditating. It will keep you from falling into a rut. That's good. Yes. Yeah, it will keep you from doing that. Just meditate. Get you a notebook and write down all the things that God has showed, the ways that God has showed His love to you, and just write them down and meditate on them. Meditate on His love. Meditate on His mercies. There's all kind of mercies of God. How about the mercy of justification? How about the mercy of identification? How about the mercy of not having to live under the law, but under grace? Someone said, "Boy, I wish I could have lived back in the Old Testament days." No, you don't. I might have said it here Sunday, we would all be stoned by now. Amen? I'm telling you. I'm glad I'm under grace. And on and on and on. We have a church to come to. That's a mercy. We have heaven to go to when we die. That's a mercy. Amen? And I could go on and on about that. Those are some things I got out of meditating on the Word of God. That is just some of the things that I have learned and I have gotten for my soul because I meditated. I didn't just read it and I didn't just do it out of duty, but I did it because I love Him. I love Him. That's the reason I do it. And then I want you to notice in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4 and 5, spiritual growth is reflected in a more perfect obedience. More you meditate in the Bible, more you'll fall in love with Him, and then more you want to obey Him. How do you know? That's the way it worked for me and hundreds of other people that I know. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3 and verse 4 and verse 5. Listen to, this is strong. This is not the milk bottle. This is T-bone steak cooked well done. Listen to it. "And hereby we do know that we know Him." You can know that you're saved. "And if we keep His commandments." And then the Bible says, "He that saith," I hear a lot of people say they know Him, but you sure can't tell it. by their life. Bible says very plain, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments. Now, I would never call you a liar just to be doing it. But if the word of God calls you a liar, I can't do anything about it. But he says, he that saith, all through 1 John, he that saith, he that saith, he that saith. It's easy to say things. But he said, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I didn't write that. The Holy Spirit wrote it. The Holy Spirit put it in your Bible, my Bible. Amen. And notice what it says here. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. How do I know that I love God? Because I keep his commandments, John chapter 20, verse 14. How do you know that you love God? Not just have the Bible. I have many Bibles. All King James, amen. Some people look at me odd when I say that. But let me tell you, just because I have 100 Bibles or so, that doesn't mean that I love God. Just because I preach it every night of my life, that doesn't mean that I love God. What proves that I love God? I keep his commandments to the best of my ability. What proves that you love God? Because you keep his commandments. Amen. The Bible says so in the book of John. He that hath my commandments, he that loveth, he that keepeth my commandments is he that loveth me. Do you love God tonight? Can I just kind of camp ground right here a little bit and just talk to you? Can you prove that you love God by the knowledge that you have in your mind, in your heart, and your soul of the Word of God? Do you keep it? Amen. Hope you do. That's a good sign. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. No, 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Let's read that verse first. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth. Talking about faith. Brother Beckham, is faith important? I say it is. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says that it's impossible to please God without it. So I believe it's very important, wouldn't you say? Do you have it? Are you walking by faith or are you walking by sight? The way some people live, they are walking by sight, and you can tell it in their life. Why do you preach on faith, Brother Beckham? It's essential. It's a necessity for you to grow, for you to mature, for that love for God grows deeper and deeper, and you want to obey him. Amen. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 now, and verse 15. The Bible is very plain. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope with your faith is increased, that we may be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Wow. Brethren, do you love him? Are you walking by faith? If things get hard, do you still love him? When the trials happens, do you still want to walk by faith and trust him? Look at the fourth mark of spiritual growth, and it's a greater love. Look in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 reads, "In this I pray that your love may abound yet more in knowledge and in all judgment." Love is the first and foremost of all Christian characteristics, Galatians 5:22, and it's the greatest of them all in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Love. Love. Love is the foremost of all the commandments of our Lord in John 13:34, it tells us. And the most convincing testimony to the unsaved in John 13:35. Love is a force that is most compelling in 2 Corinthians 5:14. And it will continue when all other gifts have ceased in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. Its exercise is indispensable to successful Christian living, so that Paul prays for an overflow of love in the life of these saints. That's what he was wanting to see. That's what he was praying for. The word abound is a verb from the noun abundance. To have an abundance of something is to have an exceeding measure above the ordinary. And that's what I want. I don't want to just be a mediocre type Christian. I want to give him my very best because he gave himself for me. Very simple stuff, but so important. So, so important. Would you look in verse 11a with me? Verse 11a says, "Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power." The word strengthen means a continual action. God is not like a booster rocket giving believers an initial boost of power and then leaving them to fly on his own. Believers are continually strengthened with all power. Where does that power come from? It comes from God. I'll say it again. Being conscious of that power is very important. You know it's there because we have been saved by that power. We have been saved by God. We know that, but many times we forget it, don't we? Believers are continually, I'll say it again, strengthened with that all might, with that power of God. I don't worry about the mountains. I don't worry about all the stuff that Brother Beckham may have to face in my life. You know why? Because I got the all-powerful one inside of me helping me. Picking me up. Jeanette sings a song about the grace of God. And that grace picks us up, and he picks us up, and he picks us up. And we fall again, and he picks us up, and he gives us strength. And we fall again, and he picks us up, and he strengthens us again. That's that grace that I mentioned in the beginning tonight. That word glorious refers to the manifestation of God's attributes. The word power refers to strength in action. When I need him, it goes into action. When you need him, his power goes into action. Amen. And then fifthly, look in 11b, and let me just give this to you before we give the invitation. Look at verse 11. The Bible says, this is the last result of true spiritual knowledge. He says, with all patience, with long suffering, with joyfulness. Knowledge of God's promise and purpose revealed in the scripture gives the strength to endure trials and sufferings. The strength provided by knowledge of God's word allows the believer to endure trials joyously. Amen. You said, Brother Beckham, you are very unusual. I'm unusual because I have an unusual father. After I got saved, he told me I was going to be a peculiar person. And I am. Amen. And I'm glad I am. I am proud of it. Because my father is a very peculiar God. How about you tonight? Just these simple little things. Are you growing? Are you obeying God? Is it one of your goals in life is to obey Him? I don't know why it is, but we got it in our minds that we can just live any old way. As long as we come to church, as long as we tote the Bible, as long as we just do some of the major things, we are okay. Church, there's more to the Bible than just being okay. We got to be obedient. And not just in the things that we want to be obedient in. We got to be obedient with the whole word. Because I hear people talk and I hear them say, well, I'm not all that big in prayer. I'm not all that big in soul winning. I go to church. I put in my tithe. I give my missions. I read my Bible, but I work so many hours. And I hear people talking that way and I'm thinking, there's a problem. There's a big problem there. I don't want just obey God and I want to obey God in all of them. I want to keep all of His commandments. I'm just that kind of guy. I just want to please Him. Where are you at tonight? Is your desire, is it to please God in all things? Because see, I could say, well, God, you led me to start the magazine. I got it going and you led me to write the 9, 10, 11 books and you have led me to do all these things. And Lord, what else do you want? Better not ask God that question unless you're ready for an answer. Amen. And because He said, well, why don't you just take all the prayers in the Bible and put a commentary to each one of them and do that? Okay. I think I could do that in about a week. I had no idea it was going to take 22 years. But I'm just glad that that he's letting me live for him. It's an honor. It was an honor. Someone like me get to live for God, Jehovah God. Someone like you to get to serve God. Think about that. Think about the attributes of God. Go home and just write them down and meditate. And just remember who you are serving. And are you serving him in the right spirit? That's what I want. I don't want just to serve him, but I want to serve him and please him in all things. All pleasing. See, we overlook all those key words in the Bible, but those are very important words. All pleasing, walk worthy, Benny, walk. Okay. Yeah. So my question to you, learn to love you a long time ago. And it's an honor to be for pastor to let me come. I do not take this for granted at all. This is an honor. You're not just my friends. You're my brothers. You're my sisters. And I said to the Lord today, Lord, this is a very, very, very important part of this series of messages. And Lord, help me. Help me to bring it out as simple as I can tonight. And he has. He's helped me. I feel good. Do you feel good? Do you feel good? Are you okay in the spiritual shape that you're in? Are you okay? Are you going to be able to walk out the back doors and say, I am where I need to be with God? See, I've been told that we can't be in the perfect will of God. I have been taught that most of my life. But guess what? I've read the book. And the book tells me you can. You can know the will of God. You can be in the perfect will of God. Are you? Because you're going to be given an opportunity in a few seconds to come and get at the altar or pray there in your seat. But you're going to be given the opportunity to be able to say, Father, forgive me, or Father, just help me to continue to be obedient to you and walk worthy of you. You'll be given that opportunity in a few seconds. Let us stand, please.